today is February 22nd, yes, in the year 2000, and I'm here at the home of Eileen Drivdahl, and we're going to be talking about Hardanger embroidery. And my name is Laura Orleans, and I'm the interviewer. And I have some questions that I've developed, and there probably will be other things that come up, but let's just start. I wanted to find out more, a little bit more about your family, and where your family comes from in Norway.
It's from a small island.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. What is the south part of Norway?
Southwest.
Southwest.
Uh-huh. Do you know the name of the island?
The island is called Karmøy, and we're all the way down the point. It's called Skudeneshavn.
Okay. I probably will have you spell these things for me later.
Yeah.
And were you born in Norway yourself?
No, I was born over here.
Uh-huh. But
both my parents were born in Norway.
Okay. And what kind of work were they involved in Norway, your parents?
What they were involved in?
What kind of work?
Yes. Her father was over here from he was a young boy.
Oh.
So, and he was fishing.
Uh-huh.
And he was also with the boats down in Florida. He
mm-hmm.
was a crew in those luxury boats down there, the yachts.
Mm-hmm.
He was working on them.
And her mother, was she working at all?
No.
No.
Her mother came over after the war. They were married before the war.
Okay.
And she spent all those years in Norway alone, and he was over here.
Okay.
So right over after the war, she came over here. And,
do you know?
Then they had Aline.
Okay, why did they leave Norway? Do you know why? What?
Well, when he was young, it was a hard time in Norway.
Mm.
But I believe it was just as hard over here.
Mm.
But they thought they were going to do well over here. But his father came back again, I remember, and had the butcher shop in Norway.
Mm.
Her father stayed over here.
Okay, and when did he come, do you know? Approximately, was it in the 20s or the
30s?
30s, so during the Depression.
Right.
Oh yeah,
right.
Not a good time.
No.
Not a good time here, yeah. And do you know why they chose New Bedford? I imagine there was a community already established here.
Fishing industry.
Fishing, yeah. Did they have family that were living here?
They had relatives.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, her mother had cousins, and her father had a brother.
Okay.
They lived different places in New York, like Smithtown and Great Neck, and because I think my grandmother, I think she died when my father was young, so they were, what, 9 kids? I think there were 9 kids, so by that time, they all came over here.
Uh-huh. And where, you were born here.
Yeah.
Then can you tell me the year that you were born?
I was born in 1947.
Uh-huh. And the date, if you don't mind?
November 5th.
Okay, November 5th, 1947.
Yeah.
And were you raised entirely in this country? No.
If I want...
Where did you grow up?
I moved to Norway in 1955.
Okay.
When I was about 8 years old, yeah, right after my 8th birthday.
Uh-huh.
And then I lived in Norway for 10 years, and I came back here in 1965.
And who were you living with in Norway?
I was living with my aunt in Norway.
Okay. Did your aunt have anything to do with your interest in...
Well, by that time, I didn't have any grandparents. So when I was living with my aunt, her mother, I called Grandma.
Mm-hmm.
And she did all these different things, and she was the one that was sewing Hardanger.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to watch her, and it looked like it was fun, but in the beginning, I didn't think I could do it or something like that. But then I thought I was going to try, so I borrowed a Hardanger thing, just like a doily runner.
Mm-hmm.
For my cousin, and I bought the yarn, the material, and it was almost more like a dare because my cousin and my aunt said, oh, you're never going to finish that, you can't do that kind of stuff, and I swore, boy, I'm going to do it if it kills me, you know what I mean? So I sat down, and I really, you know, it's just really counting, because you can really, even if you don't have a pattern,
mm-hmm.
you can borrow a doily, and you can see how it's done, and count the threads and everything,
mm-hmm.
and I did it.
And how old were you at that point? Was that when you were 8 years old?
If I want...
Were you 8 years old at that point?
No, I think I was maybe about 12 or so, I think, 13, I don't know.
But that's still pretty self.
We had like homemade like sewings and stuff in school, and I was awful. I couldn't do nothing. Same thing with a friend of mine. And right now, my friend of mine, she does all these, you know, like the knitted things that I had over there.
Mm-hmm.
She did all those, and I'm doing this thing, you know. And we were lousy in school.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. But we didn't like it. We had to make these crazy things.
So what happened when you made this piece? You showed it to your aunt?
Yeah, I showed it to my aunt. And in fact, I had it with me over here, and I gave it to my uncle that lived in Smithtown.
Mm.
And I know quite, he had on quite a few shows with Sons of Norway, and he showed it on some exhibits, I think, down in Smithtown, a different thing like that. And he was like a bachelor, he smoked a pipe, everything. Every time he came home, he would roll it up in tissue paper and put it in the drawer. He didn't want to get dirty.
Oh. Now, what did your aunt say? Was she impressed with your work?
She said, oh, boy, she did it.
And then did she help you to learn anything else?
Yeah. She helped me with the sewing machine, because after you cut it out, you have to sew on the sewing machine. And she had the sewing machine, and nobody was allowed to touch that sewing machine but her. So she did, you know, she did the sewing thing around the sewing machine.
Mm-hmm. And did she, was she a little bit more receptive to you after you
did
it?
I did a couple of few after.
Yeah.
And then I came over on the boat, and I think I almost finished the whole one on the boat.
Huh. How long a boat trip was that?
Eight days, about a week.
Mm. And were you alone?
Yeah.
On the boat?
Yeah.
And so you were fairly young. You were a teenager at that time, or?
I was.
How old were you?
I was right before my 18th birthday.
Mm-hmm. So that's pretty adventurous, I would think. Yeah.
We had bad weather and everything, so.
Tell me a little bit more about the schooling that you had in Norway. You said that you had some instruction in needlework and things in your school?
What?
In school?
I couldn't...
Hornabe.
Huh?
Hornabe. The school. And...
Well, I really didn't do too much sewings in Norway. I did like the hadanga thing, and I think I needed maybe a sweater or two. But, you know, when you're 18 or something, I really didn't feel like doing too much. I think I did some other stuff. It was mostly when I came over here. Mm-hmm. Like my cousin, they used to send me, like, different kits for Christmas. And I would do them, you know, like, these small kits.
Now, this is
different. I think the first one I got was this one. This is, like, Norwegian flag.
Uh-huh. And do you call this needlepoint? Or this is not hardanger?
No.
No.
This is, like, cross stitch. It's cross-stitch. Like on a linen.
Uh-huh.
And most of the thread and everything comes in a kit.
Uh-huh. And the designs
these
are...
these things and everything.
Yeah.
Like all these things come in a kit too.
Uh-huh.
Like the toils and stuff.
Uh-huh. And this is cross-stitch also? No.
Yeah.
This is also cross-stitch?
No, that's not cross-stitch. This is regular stitch. I don't know if we've got... these are cross-stitch. These I think is cross-stitch.
Uh-huh. And does it have a name in Norwegian?
It says Merry Christmas in Norwegian.
But the cross stitch, how do you say that? Is there a Norwegian word?
Same almost. Cross sting.
Ah, cross sting. Okay. And then this, does it have a name in Norwegian?
This is just like regular stitches. Like the one behind you there is like a double cross stitch.
Uh-huh.
It goes upwards and backwards and stuff like that, so I made the pattern.
And... the pattern is something that you made out of your head?
No. It comes in a kit with a pattern.
Uh-huh.
It's like on a piece of paper, so you have to count the squares.
Uh-huh.
You have to count the squares and everything, same thing here.
Uh-huh. Okay. Let me ask you a little bit more about the embroidery and the hardanger. Once you left Norway, how did you continue? What inspired you to keep doing it when you got here? You said, I didn't do much there. It was mostly when I came.
It's not, well, like when I came over here, I did most of the sewing. I didn't do much sewing over here. Not over there, but here, I guess, it was more fun. People more, you know, enjoyed it. I mean, appreciated it.
Really?
Appreciated it.
People in the Norwegian community or people
like,
outside?
Yeah. Well, I did like different things for like for the church sale and stuff, and then I made the biggest thing, I guess, was the altar cloth I made for church.
How did that come about? Did they ask for you to do it?
Yeah, we were going to have a new church. Our old church was down by the high school.
Mm-hmm.
They built a new church right up here.
And what is
and
the
I
name?
Guess the altar was bigger, so the pastor, or the sewing circle, I guess it was, that asked if I could make an altar cloth.
Mm.
So my uncle went with me up on measure the altar and everything like that, and I started putting different patterns together, and I think I draw some of the patterns too, but I picked some different ones out of different, you know, things. And then, you know, it was so much material and everything. By that time I was working in the nursing home at night, and say I would take it with me maybe, and for my hour that I had, like for supper or something, I would sit, and to, so it wouldn't get dirty, I'd put like a tablecloth or something like that on the floor, and it was so heavy. But it took, what, 6 months for me to do it? I don't know. I think it took me about 6 months.
How large a piece? That must have been huge.
Yeah.
Do you know how big it was? Do you remember how many feet? Or
I can't remember how long it took, but I remember, you see, after you finish it, you have to cut it, you know, sew on the sewing machine, cut it out. Then you have to put it in a big pot and cook it up so all the material tightens up, the threads and everything, so they won't get loose. So my uncle had to go with me up to the church to borrow this big, big, big pot so they use like for parties. And then we have this big pot on the soap filling with water, because when it starts bubbling, all this soap is going over it.
And tell me the name of the church?
Trinity Lutheran Church.
And where is it located now?
It's right up in Temple Place, like a block away from here.
Mm-hmm. And who's the pastor in the church?
Pastor John Eamon.
Okay. And did people in the congregation know that you had made this? Did
Oh, yeah.
Was there any kind of announcement or... Yeah. And then did people already know that you had these skills? How did they come to ask you?
Well, I used to make some small jewelries and stuff, like for the church bazaar.
Okay.
And it's like a lot of relatives, like I would give them like to Christmas or weddings and stuff like that.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay. Let me just think here. Was there any time that somebody in your family, your aunt or anybody else, kind of sat down and taught you things about the stitching? Or was it all that you learned
yourself?
Really
just, it's really counting.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it goes like, it's over four threads and five stitches, so you just have to go up and down and do like a lot of counting. And then when you cut it here, and then you pull the threads out and make these holes. And then you sew around it to make these things.
What was the very first piece that you made? Can you describe it?
The first piece is, it's like the long one you have on the bureau out there that I made for Tokunaina. The one that I gave to my uncle in Smithtown.
Right. And what did that look like? How big was it, roughly?
Sugar.
Okay. Was it simpler than what you can do now?
If it's what?
Was it less complicated than...
Yeah, it's a little... it's less complicated than the last one I did than this one.
Mm-hmm.
Because this one, you know, is completely full and, what, took me 600 hours.
It's amazing. And do you know how your aunt learned?
If I what?
How was it that your aunt learned the hardanga?
She was married to her aunt, so from her mother.
This one. This is like the first one I did.
Oh, that's beautiful. Are there meanings to the designs? Do the designs have a symbolic meaning at all? That you know of? Do you know what I mean?
I don't think so. I really don't know. It comes from Hadango and stuff like that, and Hadango.
And Hadango is a part of Norway, right? A region in Norway. But I'm looking at your sweater, and there's a very similar, this kind of snowflake.
It's like that thing, remember?
Yeah.
Because you can really do it in all kinds of... You can do it in different colors. I like the traditional white. And it's like these things that you can put like in covers and everything.
Have you made it in different colors? Have you ever done that?
I've done in brown, I think.
Uh-huh.
Something similar to this.
Ooh, pretty. Uh-huh.
But say these, you know, if they get dirty, you kind of cook them up and they get clean again.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's handy.
They get nice and white.
What is the piece that you're most proud of? Is there one thing that you made that you...
Oh, the best thing I made?
Yeah, the best thing.
It would be the altar cloth, I guess.
Yeah.
That and this one.
And this one too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it common in Norway? Do lots of people make the Hardanger? Or is it something that just a few people make?
Some people do it. Other people, like this friend of mine, she doesn't know how to do it, but she knits a lot, and she she knits like crazy, I almost said. And some of them like maybe these stitches.
Mm-hmm.
But I prefer like these stitches and those.
Mm-hmm. Do most women have some stitching that they can do?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think? Yeah.
Yeah, they would sit down and get together at coffee and stuff like that. And
they have a club right now in Horsham.
And they would sew, and just for the women to get together and have something to do, they'll work on different things. And
mm-hmm.
a lot of them would do like knittings and stuff.
And would they sell those pieces, or they would make them for family?
Maybe like Christmas presents, birthday presents. But a lot of times they have a different kind of bazaars, like Siemens missionaries and... I can't remember how many different missionary things there is in Norway.
Mission.
I know what you call it. Missions, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how old are the women that do that? Are they children or older people?
Depends on really when they like to do it.
That was more in my grandmother's time. And lately they have a club
mm-hmm.
where they meet. And here in the summertime they have a coffee shop in the same building.
Here?
In Norway, our small town, and then they sell
mm-hmm.
little things too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember when we went to school, this freaking heinous.
Yeah.
She would take us over there, and once a week we had come like, and she would make cakes and stuff, and we would do like different small sewings, and then she would read different things like from the missions and stuff like that, and
mm-hmm.
I think we would make different things for her. But that was like when we were in grammar school. I can't remember how old we were. I think maybe about 10 years old or so.
Mm-hmm.
By that time, none of us really knew how to do any of them.
So here in Fairhaven, let's say, is there any kind of gathering of women that do sewing and stitching?
No church.
They have sewing circle at church every Tuesday morning, what, from 10 to 1, is that it?
Huh.
Yeah.
And
she goes sometimes,
and you go.
I don't.
You don't go.
But I usually, if I make something, I make it at home, and then I keep it in there by the time the bazaar is. It's usually in, what, November or December.
Hmm.
So a lot of people come, and they buy the things and stuff.
Uh-huh. And can you tell, I'm just curious about the sewing circle. Is it similar to what you had in Norway?
No.
No. Do people sit and chat, or?
More elaborate. Yeah. In Norway. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I don't mean the things that people are making. I'm just curious about the...
Probably the same
the
thing.
Social
sit,
kind of...
Sit around talking and
yeah.
laughing and yeah.
Yeah.
And then they have coffee and yeah.
Uh-huh. And how come you don't go?
And what?
Why don't you go?
I couldn't hear.
Why don't you go?
No. Well, they started one now on Thursday nights, more of like for the younger people, but I haven't got an aid for that either.
No.
I'd rather do it at home and
alone.
Give it to them by that time.
Yeah.
I can't hear, so when there's so many people talking,
that's
everything
hard.
Gets confused.
Yeah.
With my hearing aid.
I think you're doing very well. Do you know much? I mean, I know you have this, but just from your own memories about the history of the Hardanger, how it originated, or
how I know the history?
No, what? Tell me what the history is a little bit.
Boy, I really don't know. You know, like that thing?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Can you say it in your own words, though?
Huh?
Can you say it to me instead of? I mean, I have a paper
what
that you
want
wrote,
me to read this one.
Well, yeah, or just.
Like a Hardanger is like in the southwest Norway,
mm-hmm.
and they make open work embroideries, and it's named Hardanger, and it's worked on counted threads, and you like count it and it goes like one way to the other, and it's always, in fact, when you go around here, sometimes I come back and I'm one thread off,
mm-hmm.
I have to go all the way back to see what's wrong. So you really have to count the threads, because if you start cutting, it's going to be wrong when you start pulling out the threads.
Mm-hmm. Do you know when people first started to do it? How long people have been making the Hardanger?
Oh, hundreds of years.
Yeah. And
because they have the nationality costumes, and yeah, there's like one specific one, Hadang, or they have it like down here, like Ely has the Hadang, you know, and it's down here, around here.
So the collar.
Down the chest. And there's usually a big piece on the apron, down the bottom of the apron. Some of them have like a bigger thing, or some of them, there might be the grandmother that might even do the drawings themselves for it. You know, like, different drawings, because it's easy to do the drawings. Not sure if I don't know. I think I took them out. I did some drawings myself. I think that's
you did.
That. Yeah.
When you
it's
do
quite
a piece,
easy.
Yeah. When you do a piece like that, do you draw it out before you start?
Well, that I use like a pattern. But if you have like the kind of paper, you know, with like squares on,
like graph paper,
you can just, you know, kind of draw like, you know, 4, 5, 5, 5, and you can really make the patterns yourself. Something specific you like. Like I was doing different crosses. Trying all the different crosses for the altar cloth to see what would fit in.
So what you made for the altar cloth was something you made that yourself, the design?
Well, some of it I did myself, and some I picked out of different books. So it really generates into the same thing. Some patterns are different, and some patterns are like more full. But most of it works like on white material, but you can do it on color. Different kind of colors, but I prefer more like the traditional one that would be like white.
And besides the costume, what are the other kinds of things that it's used for in Norway? In addition, you said there's the costume that they've added to the kit.
Yeah, the Hardanger costume.
What else is it used for? What other kinds of pieces do they make traditionally? Or typically?
Tablecloths.
Oh, yeah. They make tablecloths, they make runners. They make curtains. They can make baptism dresses.
Oh, yeah.
Like there's a lady I know in Norway, she had a baptism dress with like a lot of hadanga on, and it's like, it's worked like on linen thread. And I think she's used it for something like 17 grandchildren or something like that between her children. Each time they sew like the name on the baptism day, so that dress is really, really getting full because they can use it both like on boys or girls. So there's like names all over, like on the sleeves, the body and everything. So it's been like, must be about 150 years old, I think.
Wow. Yeah.
I think about 4 or 5 generations.
Yeah. And would it be typical for an altar cloth in Norway to have the Hardanger, or is that no?
No, I think there might be. Like, you know, there's a lot of Norwegians living in Minnesota, Northwest, and stuff like that. I think there might be, you know, like they have altar cloths maybe there. Because I think I've seen some pictures, like we used to get this magazine, Sons of Norway. And then they would show like different things, but right around here now. I think there's another lady at church that I think she crocheted an altar cloth. In Norway. No, in Norway mostly they have crochet things, I think. Crochet altar cloths.
Yeah.
Because they have different really altar cloths. They have like the altar cloth that hangs like on the whole side. And it was just more like goes just this way. Because they have a different thing here on the front.
Okay. Now, the community that is here, did most people come from the southwest of Norway? Are most people from the region around Hardanger? No.
No, they come from the same place as the same island. A lot of them, but we have all nationalities now in our church.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Is it primarily Norwegian or?
Yeah.
Yeah. And is there?
And German and yeah.
Yeah. Oh, because it's a Lutheran church.
Yeah.
Is the service given in Norwegian at all?
No.
Is there any Norwegian spoken? No. No. How commonly do you must speak some Norwegian, I would imagine.
Yeah, I speak fluent Norwegian.
Yeah.
Like they have sometimes a Norway party, some Christmas party sometimes, I think around Christmas time in our church. They have it, and then they go around the Christmas tree and they sing the Norwegian carols, don't they? Yeah.
One.
Yeah, one.
Oh, no.
I guess the one they're clapping their hands, that's the one they like.
Yeah. Do many people speak Norwegian, or is it fading away? What do you think?
There's quite a few people who speak Norwegian. I know sometimes, like when their kids were young, or there's something they didn't want to speak, you know, hear, they would speak Norwegian. But now, you know, they are, Audrey, she learned Norwegian when she came to Norway at one summer.
Yeah.
She picked it up, so.
Well, even your son, when they performed at the National Park, he said, you know, I said, do a Norwegian program of music, and they said something about how they learned Norwegian up until about the age of 5, and then, you know, but you can express a lot when you're 5 years old, he was saying, so, yeah.
A lot of them pick it up from their parents and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's some people I know that speaks fluently Norwegian, understands Norwegian, they can read it, but they've never been in Norway themselves.
Mm-hmm. So when do they speak to each other? Not just at the Christmas party, or?
At home.
At home, yeah. Yeah, and do you speak with each other? If I wasn't here, would you talk in Norwegian? Or?
Oh, we can speak Norwegian. Sometimes we say, you know, something in Norwegian like we can't really think of in English. But I know when I was in Norway quite a few times, and my aunt and they were visiting, and they were speaking half Norwegian, half English, and I thought it was so funny. Yeah, but lately, a couple of times I've been in Norway, I could not remember what the Norwegian thing was, and I was saying in English.
Uh-huh.
But after being there a week, you know, it takes... Then you're really speaking fluently, but a lot of people over there speak English because we have English in the school.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the fourth grade, we start with English.
And I never asked you this, but why did you come when you were 18? Why did you leave Norway?
It was kind of weird. His son was in Norway that summer, and I had been in Norway almost 10 years, and then Annie said, do you want your visa or something, or, you know?
Yeah.
To run up, but if not, you have to be over back in the United States before you're 18 years old.
Oh.
So I talked, by that time I was out of school. I know, I didn't know, because he forgot I was an American citizen. So I was just going to talk back and forth with my father, so I decided to come over here. And it was like, I came over here like October 18th, I guess. It was my birthday, with the 5th, November 5th. And then when I came over here, I found out, no, there's no way your visa can run up, because you're an American citizen.
But you didn't.
So since then, I've been stuck here. No, I like it here. You know, I'd rather be here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is most of your family here?
Aunt and uncles, yeah. It was all half and half, but now most of them really dead in Norway.
Mm.
So, but I like it better over here.
Mm-hmm. Do you go back very much?
I haven't been there since 92.
Mm.
I was there in 90 and 92, I guess it was. Mm-hmm. I haven't been there since.
Yeah. It's expensive, I would guess,
yeah.
To go, yeah.
And we should take, like, that summer, I think we were away, what, for 2 months? Something, we went to France first, because her daughter was living in France right then.
Mm-hmm.
So we were there for 5 days, and then we went to Norway.
Mm-hmm. So I know what I was going to ask about the names of the designs. Just getting back, you said that you don't know if there's any meaning, but do the designs have names?
The stitches?
Yeah, the stitches.
Not real.
Well, not so much in the books, but something that, like.
No, it's really. What do
you, that's a snowflake, or it's a not. It's not even.
It's like no, it's not cut down those stitches. They're called like a satin stitch. That's really a satin stitch block when you come over this way.
Mm-hmm.
And these is like stars or something, and then these things. So, can't remember what they're called. Spider web.
Hmm.
The ones that goes in the middle is like spider web filling. And it's just like different kind of stitches, and then you cut it out. And this is like filling stitches. It just go like back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Can you describe for me, I know that it's written down in the books and everything, but just if you were teaching me the process, how do you start? What does it look like when you first start a piece?
How I start on it?
Yeah.
Well, if I have the pattern, I would count like how many stitches go this way, like 1, 5, 5, 5, and I count how many goes that way. And then I was doing the material, how much I would need, and I count how many threads, you know, it might be like 200 threads down. Mm-hmm. And I'd fold it over, and I would like count. I usually leave about this much before I start sewing it. And then I would just try to sew this way and go down that way, see if I have enough.
The
material.
Border.
I'll do the whole border around, and always when you come over there, you always have one stitch off. I think it's only once I think I've ever sewn that I've really met together, and you have to go find out where you went wrong.
Hmm. And what you're sewing onto is some cloth. You start out with a piece of cloth.
It's just like a plain piece of cloth.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just count, and you start following around and go all the way around the border.
Mm-hmm. But the
and
border,
then you do the filling do in this, after.
Do you have the shape already? Have you cut the shape out? Do you see how?
Yeah. Then I do like the outside border last. This border I go in first, then I do that thing after.
Mm-hmm.
And then I cut it out and I go on this. Well, first I sew in the sewing machine around this thing right here.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will cut it out.
And do you draw on the cloth first? Do you use a pencil to draw?
Oh, no.
No.
You just have to count it. But say if I do a pattern myself, you know, I draw it like on a piece of paper
mm-hmm.
with squares on. And you just, it's like 5, 5, 5, and it goes like over that way.
Mm-hmm.
Goes over 4 pieces of thread and 5 stitches.
Mm-hmm. And so then, go on, what happens next? You sew the whole, you do the whole border.
How long it takes?
No, and then what do you do next?
After I do, well, around the border,
hmm.
well, if it meets together, then I start filling maybe these, or go like down that way. I do the stars,
mm-hmm.
and do the, it's like mostly I do with two or three different threads. Like the thick thread is number 5, DMC thread. And like the stars thing might be, on this one I think I used most of them a size 12.
Mm-hmm.
But this one I think I used this one a size 8, and the thing spider web. I think you used to size 12, so most of the time you use either two or different sizes thread. Number size 5, 8, and 12.
And what about the needles that you're using? What kind of needles?
I like to use a small needle. If I use the small, the thin thread, I use maybe what, like a cross-stitch needle, like number 26, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And with a thick thread, I'll maybe use like number 2. No, number 22 or 24,
mm-hmm.
Because it has to have like a big eye on it.
Mm-hmm.
In Norway, I think we call it kanmanål or something like that. Uh-huh. For a while, I couldn't find them here, so my cousin used to send me like a whole bunch from Norway,
mm-hmm.
of different sizes, because there can't be any tip on it. They have to be like rounded.
Oh, now why is that?
Because when you sew it over your hair. So all the time when you go down there, so you won't wear, sometimes I go like 2 or 3 layers of skin.
Ouch. Do you wear a thimble?
You wear it out, you know, because
yeah.
it has to be, I think that there's not going to be any, there can't be like any tip on it.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, well, this one is a little tip on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can also do them like in, like ornaments.
Oh, pretty. Do you wear a thimble to protect your finger?
No, I don't.
No,
I just go through a lot of layers of skin. A lot of layers of skin. I did for that one.
Yeah. Hmm. And you were telling me, I think before we turned the tape recorder on, that you most of this you're able to find here in stores, the materials.
Yeah, you can get the material here like in different sizes. I used to get it all. What was the store? Peace Goods, I used to get it, or something
yeah.
that closed, and then Ben Franklin closed. I would get the thread there. But, like, this number size 5 thread here only comes this big.
Mm.
In Norway, say, because I open it going this big, Norway, the thing is about this big,
mm-hmm.
so that way you use less thread, you don't have to fasten it often.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so
I
you
see.
Get, like,
yeah.
in a bulk thing from
so
Norway.
So when you get to the end of one shank of thread or whatever you call
yeah.
it, what happens? You tie a knot in the back?
Oh, there goes like a lot of them. So you like open it and I just cut it off here and I
yeah.
pull the thread. So the Norwegian one is so much longer and it comes like in a big thing, so
mm-hmm.
there's about 10 or 15 of these big ones.
Mm-hmm.
But I know for a while when I made that altar cloth, I think I got it from a lady, but then I bought some other stuff from, I think from a Hirschner catalog or whatever it was. But now most of the stores around, they used to have it. I think Joanne's has the thread, the thin thread, and she used to have the material.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if she still has it or what.
Mm-hmm. And is this cotton? Is
huh?
it a type of cotton?
This thing?
Yeah.
It's DMC thread.
But what's the material? Is it synthetic or wool or?
It's, you know, like it's called like DMC.
Mm-hmm. That's the brand.
And it's number 5.
Yeah.
I think.
Do you think it's cotton?
Yeah. It's cotton, yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. And then, okay, so go on with the process. You're continuing to sew. Is there a time when you use scissors?
It's mostly 5 stitches over 4 threads that you go down, except if you have like these bigger ones or say the starts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But most of them on the border it is.
Mm-hmm.
Just a lot of counting, and you really have to do all of the stuff before you start cutting.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you start cutting, say if you just done half of it and then come down here, it's off. When you start pulling the threads, they're going to be all crooked.
And tell me about the cutting. How do you do the cutting?
I take it like over my finger, I almost said, and then they'll be like here. I cut the 4 threads this way, 4 threads that way, that. And I cut the 4 threads in each of those. So after I'm done, I take and pull these threads out.
Mm-hmm.
And after you pull the threads out, I make those holes. And just have to make sure you cut it right. You don't cut right.
Have you ever made a big mistake?
No.
Or it gets ruined? No.
I usually have to have good scissors.
Mm-hmm.
And I usually take my glasses off and cut 1, 2, 3, 4, you know. This way it's a lot. It's a slow process.
Yeah. What makes a really good piece?
What will make a good piece?
Mm-hmm. What? I mean, if you were looking at the work of 10 different people, how would you decide what makes one exceptionally good versus one that's just okay?
Well, like that one I made like for Anne for her wedding, mm-hmm. like in Oshawa, and then I would go through different catalogs and pick out, and sometimes you see a pattern, but I would maybe enlarge it. I made that one longer than it was supposed to be because I know she wanted it on a table.
But I mean more what makes the quality good?
I don't know what you mean by that.
Quality of the work?
Huh?
Your work compared to somebody else's. Yours is much better.
How can you tell that the work is good? Yeah. I mean, no, I don't. How can you tell that the work is good? Is very fine. What is? Do the stitches need to be tight?
Yeah, they have to be nice and tight and even.
Yeah.
That's why you have to hold it over your fingers. You can't really have it loose. Like this kind of thing, you can't really do like in a frame or anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people do different crossword things, you know, in a frame. But this, you really have to fold over your finger to do
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to, by the finger being there, it will tighten each thread that when mm-hmm. you go, it'll go like nice and even.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And is that the way your aunt did it too, over her finger?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Go through a lot of skins, you know, like you yeah. get very sore sometimes.
Did your aunt do it the same way in Norway?
If I do what?
No, your aunt.
My aunt?
Yeah. Did she
no,
do
my
the
aunt really didn't do it. She didn't do sewing. She did a lot of crocheting.
Oh, she didn't
it was
do
her
the
mother.
Whole...
It was her mother.
Oh, her
that,
mother, I'm sorry.
It was her mother that did
yeah.
the sewing.
That's what I meant. Did she do it the same with
my
the
aunt,
finger?
She did a lot of crocheting.
Yeah.
But
her
I don't
mother?
Even think she knit it. My
yeah.
cousin knit it.
Yeah. But your aunt's mother, did she do that same
yeah,
style?
They all kind of do it that way.
Yeah.
Because this is one thing that you can't really do on a frame or anything, and it has to be, you have to have it nice and tight over your fingers when you're working it.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you're all finished, you talked about boiling it in the pot, so that's...
Yes, I put a big pot of water, put it on the stove, put some nice soap, you know, like ivory soap or dishwashing liquid or something, and you cook it up, and then you take like a wooden stick or something, you know, like a spatula or something, and just kind of bump down, and then you can see it needs really to tighten all the threads.
How long do you cook it?
To cook it?
Yeah.
Oh, when the water just starts boiling up, and then you know, the bubbles start coming, and then you shut it off and
mm-hmm.
let it cool off a while before you start rinsing all the soap out of it.
Does the fabric shrink?
A little.
Yeah, but not too much.
No,
yeah.
It doesn't too much. That's why I was kind of worried about, you know, when I did the altar cloth. I hope it doesn't shrink too much. That wouldn't fit you on the altar.
Yeah.
But I think it was exactly right.
Yeah.
I think it will shrink maybe an inch, maybe, with that big one. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
If not much, it's mostly supposed to tighten the threads.
Do you have a favorite kind of stitch or a favorite design?
No.
No? Is there one that's harder to do than the others? What's the hardest...
Like that heart was kind of tough to do. I can't remember. It's like to hang in the Christmas tree.
But well, I mean, you were talking about the spider's web and the snowflake.
Yeah, it's like
a
spider web or something. Now, no. They're quite easy. Something like that. More of the one tough ones are maybe like this one. It's like different ones you have to count. You have to go like sideways.
Mm-hmm. Is there a name for that where it curls?
I can't. No, I don't think there's any name on it.
Huh? And did you make that in your head or?
Huh?
Did you make that up in your head? Or
no, it was like on the pattern. You can really see how it is on the pattern.
Oh, yeah.
You can count.
Yep.
You can count the threads.
Uh-huh.
That's from the square.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What else was I going to ask? And you said it took about 600 hours to complete that. This piece here.
That's what?
600 hours.
600 hours, yeah.
Yeah.
No, because when I was over there, 4th of July, there was quite a few people. Oh, how many hours it takes? Is that having the faintest idea? So then I hurt my knee after sometime. Then I was up there, so I figured, boy, I got all that material. Let me start sewing something for myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I started on it, and it was going, and it was getting bigger and bigger. And I wanted it that big, but it was coming so many hours. I figured, my goodness, you know, they came to 600 hours. I figured, that's enough.
Is it relaxing for you? Do you find it to be relaxing, the sewing?
Yeah, it was relaxing when I was doing it.
Yeah.
And the more you know you're getting done, I think, you know, you want to have it done.
Mm-hmm.
So I was doing like 15 hours a day, but
oh, yeah.
I don't think I want to do that again. I was getting headaches from it.
And you were mentioning that you've taught a little bit. Are there people, younger people in your family that have learned from you?
Well, her granddaughter, she wanted me to teach her. But then she went to visit her cousin, her uncle up in Fargo. So she brought that kid up there. So she started doing it. And then around Christmas time, I made her like a little book that I put some patterns in.
Uh-huh.
So then she came over and she wanted me to teach her something else. But it was kind of difficult to teach her because she's left-handed.
Uh-oh.
So she's doing the stitch exactly the opposite way than I'm doing. So it's kind of tough. And I said, leave, you're doing it. You know, just do it the way you're doing it. It looks like it's coming out all right.
Are there other people that you've taught over the years? Or is she the only person that you've taught?
That they taught? No,
that
I have taught, no.
You haven't taught anyone else yet?
No.
No. Did you, do you think it would be something you'd like to do?
Then what?
Would you like to teach others?
No, I don't think so.
Not so much?
You're kind of nervous.
Oh, yeah? Do you think that there are other people who do this here in Fairhaven?
If this, yeah, there's people in our church that does it, isn't
there? Yeah.
But
not now. They takes a lot of patience.
Yeah.
And they don't have that anymore, I don't think. So.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can't watch TV really when you're sitting down doing it because you have to concentrate on it. Because it's like a lot of counting.
Yeah. And do people know that Eileen does this? Other people in the community? Because it sounds like you don't go to the sewing circle and you're kind of quiet about it. Mm-hmm. But people know about your altar cloth.
In church,
yeah. Yeah. What was the reaction people had at the festival? Did people come and talk to you from at the festival?
The what?
Last summer.
Oh, last summer, yeah.
Yeah, what was the reaction that people had, besides asking how long it took?
Well, they were asking, how I did it, and how many hours. And then how many cost they want to buy it. We had to keep saying, you know,
it's not
with people are sitting here, you know, we're not selling anything.
Yeah.
It's mostly that Christmas one they want to buy.
Huh. Interesting. Have you ever made anything to sell?
No, not for myself, no.
No, just for the bazaars.
To the church bazaar.
Yeah.
And it's like for Christmas and weddings and birthdays and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have 2 aunts that's going to be 90 the next 2 months. So I have to start doing something for both of them, I guess.
Maybe tell me a little bit more about, besides the hardanger work, the other kinds of cross stitch and other things that you're doing.
What, different kind of other sewing?
Yeah.
Well, it's like pillows and there might be runners. And sometimes it's a pillow, but some people like more like to have it like a thing on a table.
And that comes already with the design on it?
No. It comes like this and you have to like count it.
Yeah.
With all the threads. The pattern might be just on a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see.
The patterns would be like on here, see, like this?
Mm-hmm.
And the different colors would show when you just have this. This is kind of too. The same thing.
She has done a few in here if you want to come and see.
Okay.
And
I would love to.
This, like, you know, it comes like that, and then the patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, like, a different kind of trolls. Like, that's a troll, and the other one is, like, from the fairy tale.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's from a troll from a fairy tale by Kittleson. I think he's sitting there wondering how old he is. He's mm-hmm. supposed to be, like, even the trees are growing on top of his head. He's supposed to be something like 300 years old, I think.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever made up your own patterns?
If I what?
Have you ever made your own designs on for these?
I think I made it for a little runner once, and like a little thing that I made my design for. But in those things now, most of those came like in kits,
mm-hmm.
and with thread and everything, and then you just have to buy the hardware
mm-hmm.
on the bottom and top.
Mm-hmm.
But
and the same with these, the cross stitch.
The cross stitch, yeah. A lot of them comes like with, well, a lot of patterns. This one I think I just put together on different kind of patterns. Because this one is really supposed to be a big one that I have hanging upstairs. But when the squares come so big, see like this square?
Mm-hmm.
And these one, that one in the picture comes like this big. This one just comes small.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just kind of like put together different kind of trolls and different kind of patterns or flowers or,
mm-hmm.
you know, just like making tablecloths or...
And I was, this picture behind me is kind of, it looks very traditional to me. And I don't know, is it? I mean, it's because it's symmetrical.
I don't know what
it's
called. This double cross, it's called a double cross stitch, but I don't know what the pattern would be. But, like, this thing is needlepoint.
Okay.
This thing is a copy of, I think, a wall hanging that's hanging at church in Norway from the 1500, I think.
Mm-hmm.
From the Viking time.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had that one framed yet.
It's pretty.
That took a long time because that's needlepoint, and I hate those stitches.
Yeah, it's very it's smaller stitches.
You have to go up and down. You can't really almost go over your fingers in those ones.
Mm-hmm.
Go up.
The needlepoint, is it made out of wool? Is this material? It looks like wool to me.
If it's what?
Wool?
Yeah, this is wool thread, yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to split the thread.
Uh-huh.
But that pattern, too, is counting. How do I do with the pattern?
And where do you get all the patterns?
Huh?
Where do these patterns come from?
I bought different ones each time I was in Norway.
Uh-huh.
It's like different, like, embroidery stores they have, like, in Norway. And they will like have the, you know, they'll have the kits like in the back, and you can get like the thread or something.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them comes with all the threads. Sometimes you can buy like a book with different kind of patterns,
mm-hmm.
or tablecloths. Over here we can really get the thread cheaper than they have it over there.
Now, do you ever take something that's in a kit and change it?
Want to change the pattern? Yeah, I've changed the pattern quite a few times.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes the pattern's been wrong, too.
Sorry.
Oish.
Looks like a little fox.
She loves people.
So what would make you change the pattern? Just
sometimes I can see like there's a mistake when I come down, and it looks like maybe like a little crooked or something. And I think it was something in this one, I think it was kind of wrong when I started slowing down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sometimes you can see the pattern's a little bit wrong, and you might want to enlarge it, or you want to shrink it.
What about the colors? Do you always stick with the colors?
If the colors come with the pattern, if the kit, yeah. But sometimes I bought, like, different patterns, or maybe I got, like, a pattern from my cousin, and I bought the thread over here. And mostly in Norway, they use, like, anchor thread, and over here it's, like, mostly DMC.
Mm-hmm.
But for a while, they used to have this arts and crafts shop across from the Dartmouth Drive-In. Mm-hmm. They used to have anchor thread.
So it would be different just because it's a different thread, maybe?
The color, it's wool thread, different but sometimes
shades.
The color might be, the numbers might be wrong, so
yeah.
I have to, like, pick out maybe the colors myself.
But would you ever say, oh, maybe the horse would look nicer if it was whatever, you know, black instead of
yeah.
red? Do you ever?
Yeah, I could change the color sometimes. Sometimes, like a knitting, you know, you do like one sweater in one color, and you can do the same pattern maybe for a boy and do like exactly opposite colors.
Mm-hmm.
You can pick out the colors yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like different shades might go together. Or say you're sewing something and they said, oh, that won't go with my wallpaper, you know what I mean?
Right.
And you might just want to change the pattern or
mm-hmm.
just change the colors.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll go like what wallpaper you have, or maybe tablecloth, or say go with your furniture or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Say if you have like an, you know, in the bedroom, it might go like a different kind of quilt or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, besides the altar cloth, have there been other times that people in the community have said, Aileen, would you make something, you know? Have you been asked to make other pieces?
I can't remember. I know they always asked me before if I could make, you know, something from the bazaar.
But and anything then, specific? Has anyone ever asked you to make a baptism dress or a...
No. I don't think they use that too much over here, do they?
No.
No, this was mostly in Norway.
Hmm.
But, I can't remember. There's different people. There's like, I made some different little things for the church bazaar this Christmas, like these little ornaments to hang on the Christmas tree, these little hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, this is superintendent of Sunday school, so one Sunday morning this lady came in and she said, oh, I enjoy those little hearts that I bought for the, you know, for the Christmas tree. So I said, yeah. Tint Lee said that you bought most of them. She said, yeah. So I said, next year I'm going to make some that's a little bit bigger. She said, oh, don't tempt me. So she bought most of them, I think, to hang on a Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know what else. This is an unrelated, but you had said you've been working in a nursing home. Do you still do that work?
No. Like arthritis, now, well, my back hurts so bad. I was working in a nursing home for 15 years, and then my back was hurting, so then I went in more like, I quit, and then I was in Norway for that summer, I think about 2 months, and I came back, and then I started taking care of this lady. I think I took care of 8 years. She was about a month away being 104 when she died.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's just like more private duty, so I worked at nights there, took care of her.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of days time too, really, for that sake.
Mm-hmm.
So she was almost 104. She was so cute. This little thing.
Was she Norwegian?
No, she wasn't. She was, her name was Edith Bailey. I'm not sure what she was. Part Irish, and I don't know what it was.
Mm.
Typical American.
Yeah, a mix.
But she was this cutest little thing, and she used to tell me about all these old things from New Bedford and stuff. I think her father, I think he spoke something like 7 languages.
Mm.
And I think her maiden name was Brant. And then during the whaling time or something like that, sometimes the different whaling boats came in, and if there was people that couldn't understand what they were talking about, they would always come and get her father, and they would get down there.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, he could help them out with the languages and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember all the languages he spoke, but she used to talk about all these things from the whaling time.
Mm. I'm curious, I know the fishing industry is so important in the Norwegian community. Is there any connection between the Hardanger work and the fishing, or... did people ever make cloths that the fishermen would take off with them to remember their family or anything like that?
I don't know. But the funniest place I did find Hardanger, when I was young, there was a friend of mine. We were working out in Nonquit for somebody named Gray, I think. In fact, she was related to, what's his name, William Roche, because her name was Helen Roche Bullard Gray. And then the first time I was there, she had these kind of pot holders. And all of a sudden, looking there, I said, Serena, I said, those pot holders are Hardanger. And they were made out of Hardanger. So apparently she had had some kind of Norwegian working for her, I think, a summer, a long time ago.
Yeah.
And she made these kind of pot holders to hold this kind of silver thing to come in there.
Mm-hmm.
With the, I think it was a cook or whatever it was. And that was the funniest place there because, you know, they were not Norwegian. And here I started working, you know, for the summer. And she had these pot holders.
Uh-huh. Now, is the Hardanger is specific to Norway, but the cutwork embroidery is done in different places? Is that right? That there's embroidery like this that's done in other parts of the world? Or
English.
They really make them all over Norway, right? Yeah, they make them all over Norway because they are popular.
Yeah, but I mean outside of Norway. And didn't you tell me once in France and other places in the world that this the cut work...
Where they come from? I mean, where they...
Where they do the cut, the this type of embroidery? Not hardanger, but the cut.
It's coming from a place that's called hardanger.
Yeah.
In Norway.
Yeah. But is that kind of embroidery done anywhere else in the world? The cut work embroidery?
It came from there, and like it's kind of funny because it's called hardanger. No, it's a different kind of embroidery.
Yeah. Which is different. Yeah.
Yeah.
Similar but different. Yeah.
All kinds of different embroideries.
You can see the difference from somebody else making it and her. You can see the difference.
Mm-hmm.
This is nice too, but
do like on different colors, you know. It can also be done on linen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the stitches are a little looser.
Yeah,
that's kind of a different kind of stitches, yeah.
It's just that we are saying these are looser. Yeah. They're not quite as good as yours.
Like hardanger, when I lived in Norway, hardanger was mostly... it's like a real, real place, and in the you know, like here you go and see the cherry trees in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Over there we're traveling to see all the apple trees and peach trees, no, not pear trees,
uh-huh.
and flower,
uh-huh.
because it's really, very beautiful.
Uh-huh. And how far is it from where you, from Kamush?
My uncle and I, we used to go there. I think it took us maybe a day ride to drive in, and then we would camp out or something like that, and... we had some friends that lived there. So we were in the cottage or something, and it was very beautiful. Sometimes it was warmer because we were more from the coast. Sometimes it would be, we had the north wind, and we wanted to go to hardanger, you know, to get like, you know, sunshine and warm weather.
Uh-huh. So you would go, you went a number of times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'd see all these beautiful apple trees and pear trees in bloom.
Uh-huh.
And it's beautiful, right? All these mountains.
Mm.
But for a while, the first few years we went, you know, the roads were so narrow. If you met a car, you almost had to back up to all these things that the other car could come by you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of the roads are more wider. There's more cars. Those days there was really that many cars that was traveling.
And the island where you were living, can you describe that a little bit? It was a small place? Small town, not
it's
a city.
Really like a big place, and a lot of those places even they have like these big kind of weddings, like for 3 days. One day they will have like
you just have that.
Yeah, huh?
She's talking about Carme now.
Okay, yeah, I was just wondering about Carme and what if you could tell me a little bit about what it was like growing up there.
The island is, I don't know how big it is. How many people's on the island? It's not like a small island. There's quite a few towns on the island.
Uh-huh.
It would take you maybe an hour to drive across it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's different towns, and there's quite a lot of people that's over here. Like, they're not just from Skudenes. They might be somebody from Kobavik and Okra. There are different towns that's on the island. Mm-hmm. It's not like a small island. It's like a big island.
Yeah. And how do people earn their living?
Well, there's different, like a lot of now people, a lot of people go like on the oil platforms. This one's like they out like 3 weeks and home for 2 weeks or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, there's stores, grocery stores, there's not too much farming anymore, I think. There's just some farming.
But when you were
and there's
there,
not much fishing anymore. There's not too much fish. They used to have shrimp and crabbing and... They used to have lobsters. Like, here you can fish lobster all year. Over there you can only fish it, I think, it's 6 years. Six weeks. 6 weeks a year, I think, you can fish it.
And when you were there, it was probably in the mid-1950s?
In the 55, 50s
and
60s. Yeah.
Was the farming still active?
They were still fishing herring for a while, but then there's not much herring around either.
Mm-hmm. Do people tend to leave now? They grow up and...
A lot of the young people, you know, they left and went away, maybe to larger towns like Oslo or Bergen, or some of the younger boys, they maybe came over here to start fishing in those days.
Mm-hmm.
But,
not anymore.
No?
No. It's very good in Norway.
Oh, so
very
now they
good.
Stay?
Oh, yeah. They, you know, after the hurricane, it's...
You know, full medical things and everything like that, you know.
Yeah.
Free medical and... They work on the oil platforms or different kind of things. There's a lot of more things, you know, like now they have televisions and everything like that, and gigantic schools and universities and stuff.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you a little bit about if you're aware of any other people that I should be talking to him. And you had mentioned that the rosemaling tradition, and I know, but and I know Elise here, but are there other people in this community that have kind of traditional Norwegian skills, music or dance?
Well, there was a lady, she just died, Helen Wilson. Yeah. She just rose painting. Oh, yeah, Jen, okay. Then there's like Norwegian baking and everything like that, you know. And her daughter does like a Norwegian baking lunch. Yeah.
As I was coming in, she was going out with the marzipan.
Yeah, they ordered cakes and stuff like that.
And she does that here.
For a while, she was doing breads.
Yeah.
Making Norwegian bread. There's like a lot of people that do.
So this is sort of Norway Central here. And your son?
Yeah, he is an artist. He's a professor at UMass.
Yeah. And a musician.
Yeah, they have fun doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have been together for I don't know how many years.
Yeah, now this is TLC that we're talking about, but they don't typically play Norwegian music.
No.
Is that right? Do if they play at the church, will they play Norwegian?
No.
No.
Gospel.
Yeah.
It's only when you had it up in the park that they sang the thing, and I even said, I said to my aunt, I didn't even think I said you knew that many Norwegian songs.
Are there any old timers who do know the songs? You know, anybody who sings, who has more of that reputation, or maybe not professionally, but like if you have a party or a church gathering.
I don't think.
This also was it Gunnar Hayes? He does like that carving, like a wood carving.
Hmm. Now who's that?
Gunnar. You know Ellie's husband?
Yeah.
Really?
Because she's a couple years ago they had this like Norwegian show over the art museum.
Now Ellie Sear? No. Different person.
Huh?
Yeah, not Ellie Sear.
No, okay.
No,
and then they had like you know, different things like I had done up and all these had all those different things, you know, there was rose painting and everything.
Yeah.
But you know, he had a lot of things that he had carved over there.
Huh.
No, like a little fisherman, and I don't know what.
Oh, interesting.
Different things.
And he's still living in.
Oh, yeah.
Mattapoisett.
Mattapoisett seems to be the place, huh?
You can find Gunnar Haynes.
Points.
You can find his address in the telephone book,
okay.
I'm sure, yeah.
Well, that's a great.
Yeah, I know the street name is really funny. Awesome. What is it? Massasoit? I can't remember what it is.
Massasoit?
No. I don't know.
What's the. Oh.
The street name, it's in the phone book probably.
No.
Or in the church name.
Any other musicians that you know of besides TLC?
The most famous one was Helen, you know, and she died New Year's Eve in the daytime. But, you know, she did all these rose painting things. We had like plates, I had my plate upstairs, and then for a while she was making these kind of small pins for us. And then Anne and John, they got that big plate for the wedding. Yeah. She always said she never was going to sell it, but then for the wedding.
There. Let me see. There he is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then the...
Let me just make sure I've got the spelling.
Yeah.
Haynes, like your name. And
yeah, right. We are not related, but this the same comes from the...
Okay.
Same place. Oh, I'll see. Here's the... No, that was ours. Yeah, there it is. Their address.
Okay, great, thank you. Now, just out of curiosity, I asked you if you would like to teach, you know, teach this.
No, I think it would make me nervous.
Even
I
if
wouldn't
you
know
had
how.
Just, even if you had just
especially
one,
with my hearing.
Even if you had just one person who wanted to learn? I don't mean a whole class, but just...
No, I don't know.
Just one person?
There was two from our church that asked me if I could help them. I really haven't decided.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you have so much to offer, I think it would be great. Just
it's one thing you're doing it yourself, and then we try to explain it to somebody else, it gets kind of confusing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like when I was trying to explain it to Leave, and I said, "How do you do the stitch?" I said to Leave. So she was doing this one. So I said, "Oh, that's right, you're left-handed, and you don't exactly this wrong way, you know." So I said, "Well, the stitches look like they're coming out the same way, so just do the way you're doing it." I said.
Yeah, yeah.
So each person really has to do it their own way.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, same thing like when knitting, was a friend of mine I saw knitting, she was really knitting so crazy, holding the needle and everything. But, you know, everything comes out the same way, so it doesn't matter.
Well, Well, maybe we should turn this off, and I'd love to take some pictures of your work.
Okay,
if that's
fine.
Okay. Is that all right? Is there anything else? I mean, if something else comes to mind, we can always turn it back on. So, okay.